Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
Flying by the seat of our pants this morning.
We always do, don't we? That's what makes this job so exciting.
I connected and you hung up.
Well, that's when I realised it was you. Do you find that when you call people, do you have to withhold your number in order to get an answer?
No.
I would imagine you do.
No, I just don't call people.
Oh, okay.
That's not a very nice thing to say.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, if you want to have greater call success, maybe you should withhold your number.
Does anyone actually call anyone anymore? Don't they just text each other?
WhatsApp, text, blah, blah, blah. It's all there, isn't it?
Like those texts you sent me at the weekend.
Come on.
Help,
you normally,
help, let me out of here.
You normally have a Cinzano and then start fire out some texts in relation to Phil Mickelson, who you seem to have an obsession with.
Seriously, I don't think I've had a Cinzano since I was about 16. Do you like Cinzano?
I haven't had one. I don't think I've ever had one.
It's the bright one. It's the right one. Oh, that's Martini,
isn't it?
I'm
a big Aperol fan. I've kept the shorts on and I've kept the Aperol flowing throughout the winter.
What, with Prosecco or champagne?
Prosecco, yeah. You know, have you seen the markets? We're in the middle of a pandemic.
That's all right. You can get cheap champagne down at Waitrose, can't you?
Okay. Does it make a difference if you have it with champagne?
Well, yes, champagne's slightly more acidic, isn't it? It's got a bit more of a sort of a bite to it than Prosecco.
Prosecco's... go for a very dry Prosecco, so I think that, I don't know if that helps or doesn't help. The soda water, do you do the soda water?
No.
I knew you wouldn't.
Why dilute it?
Yes.
It's a far cry away from the Dom Pom, though, isn't it? I mean, all those years you were knocking back the Dom Pom, you know, you clapped out Porsche and, you know.
We all have to adapt. We all have to adapt.
OK, markets, mixed bag on Wall Street yesterday, weak economic data, but Asia seems to be OK this morning.
Slightly mixed economic data, actually, but certainly held back equity market rally yesterday. S&P retreated from its all-time high. It was only down 0.16%. The Dow Jones fell back below the 30,000 level. Tech-heavy Nasdaq in its tire. Volume's a little bit weak, as you'd expect. Many traders heading into the Thanksgiving holiday. US data showed the first back-to-back rise in weekly jobless claims since July. A widening of the trade deficit, although there was an uptick in durable goods. Manufacturing housing data still remains robust. Bitcoin, been following that this week, pulled back from near record levels. Tuesday, we're talking about Bitcoin above the $19,000 level. It was down 5% in Asian trading, back in correction territory, down 10% from the recent peak. This morning, trading $17,874. Opening calls on the European bourses looking positive. Currently calling the FTSE up 7 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 12 points. CAC corner Paris up 9 points.
Go on, sir, I told you so.
In relation to Bitcoin?
Yeah, go on, you know, rub it in.
Well, I think it's a very much momentum. It's a sentiment-driven trade. And the big sentiment that I think retail investors tend to focus on is fear of missing out. So they look at the price, they see it rising, they jump on board, just as I think perhaps more canny investors are moving away from it. So I think you have to be very careful.
Yeah, I mean, but if you got in at 19,000 the other day and saw it down to, what, 17,829 this morning, you'd be a bit miffed, really, wouldn't you? I mean,
you would be a bit miffed. It's an incredibly volatile, asset is the right word. It's an incredibly volatile gamble.
There was Craig Lewis planting diamond fillings. He'll have to settle for amalgam now, won't he? Really,
you have to take it down a notch.
The first thing you said to me when we connected this morning was the Chancellor, miserable. He looked quite happy to me. I mean, isn't he already measuring up the curtains for number 10?
That's probably a step he's not really thinking about at this stage, or maybe he is, who knows. But he stood at the dispatch box yesterday to deliver the spending review that illustrated the full extent of the devastation the pandemic has wrecked on the UK economy and the nation's finances. In terms of the economy, no surprise, UK economy suffering the deepest recession in 300 years, 11%. The contraction won't be recovered until late 2022. Greater long-term scarring. Talking about unemployment hitting 7.5% next year, that's actually considerably below our figures. We've got it somewhere around 8.8% by the time that we get through to the second quarter. Yet the money continues to flow. Money to support jobs, £27 billion for infrastructure investment over the course of the next 2 years, although it did cut back on international aid and froze public sector pay apart from NHS workers. In terms of the nation's finances, this is really the distressing part of it. UK borrowing close to £400 billion this year, 19% of output, and a warning around Brexit from the OBR as well. Where are we? 40 days to go before the transition period finishes. No deal yet. Saying if that turns out to be the case, unemployment could peak at 8.3%, longer to recover well into 2023, and deeper long-term scarring.
36 days, actually.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about pregnancy when you're going on about contractions and scarring there. But, yeah. Michel Barnier's fired a shot across David Frost's bows, saying he's going to pull out unless there's a fresh shift in Downing Street's position.
There needs to be some high-level interaction in order to resolve these issues. And one would suspect, when you look at the overall risk to the UK economy, but also in terms of what it would mean for Europe, the disagreements around some of the areas, particularly fishing, seems absolutely bizarre, it has to be said. Although, of course, things like the level playing field to make sure that UK companies can't undercut European companies in some key areas is, I think, important and gives them a competitive advantage. The Northern Ireland Protocol is important. And, of course, we've got the US perspective on that under the new administration of Biden administration. So lots of elements to consider around this. But as I say, I still think a deal is the most likely scenario.
Well, when you say, you know, fishing, we've spoken about this before, and it's purely political. There's nothing to do with the economy, because I think there are 20,000 people employed in the UK fishing industry.
Yeah, very small number in terms of people who participate in the fishing industry, and a lot of the sales that the fishing industry make from the UK perspective is into the European
exactly.
Union as well.
It's just about the French going into UK territorial waters to fish, isn't it, really?
Yep.
And if the French aren't happy about that, then they can add a blockade at Calais and really mess things up after the 1st of January anyway.
They can get quite violent, some of these fishing wars, you know. You've got to be careful with
don't
that.
Don't mess
telling
with the fishermen.
To be doing that.
Otherwise, you'd like to be slapped across the face with a wet cod. On to Gap. Tough times, really. They're not the brand they used to be, really.
Yeah, Gap was good, wasn't it? Gap, what, 20, 25 years ago, maybe? It was a cool brand, wasn't it? It certainly lost a lot of that luster in recent years. Gap shares slumping nearly a fifth yesterday, despite a 5% rise in like-for-like sales. Results showed the retailer missed quarterly profit estimates and cost surge as it made the shift online. The company also forecast fourth quarter sales will be flat or slightly higher than last year, and warned of pressure on margins from elevated shipping costs as retailers rush to move more merchandise over the holiday season. Store sales declined 20% in the third quarter. Online was good. Sales were up 61% as shoppers stayed at home. They bought things like jogging bottoms, yoga outfits and tops from the likes of Old Navy and Athletica brands. But that came at a cost. Operating expenses jumped 8% in the quarter. Gap reiterated its intention to close several hundred Gap and Banana Republic stores globally.
And HP seems to have weathered the personal computer storm fairly well.
Yeah, shares jumped yesterday 5% this after the PC and printer maker reported record PC sales amid surging demand fueled by remote working and online learning during the pandemic. Sold 19 million PCs, 12 million printers over the course of the quarter. Consumer demand was the key driver, with a sharp increase in premium models, gaming PCs and notebooks, helping to offset weaker business demand. HP said they're confident that demand will remain robust, with its new fiscal guidance coming in well above the consensus level.
You're going to turn up tomorrow, you're going to send me another text saying, oh, sorry, I can't make it, a case
I'll
of Prosecco's just arrived.
A case of Prosecco. I will be here, I'll be with you to finish off the week as always.
All right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar just below 1.34 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.19. €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
Talk to you tomorrow then.
Have a good day, sir.
Hank Potts from Barclays.